that you are only imagining everything you do with us. Therefore, you have never asked me where the unknown really is. For years, I have circled with my hand to point to everything around us, and I have told you that the unknown is there. You never made the connection.
Genaro began to laugh, then coughed and stood up.
He still hasn't made the connection, he said to Don Juan.
I admitted to them that if there was a connection to be made, I had failed to make it. Don Juan restated over and over that the portion of emanations inside man's cocoon is in there only for awareness, and that awareness is matching that portion of emanations with the same portion of emanations at large. They are called emanations at large because they are immense. And to say that outside man's cocoon is the unknowable is to say that within the earth's cocoon is the unknowable. However, inside the earth's cocoon is also the unknown, and inside man's cocoon, the unknown is the emanations untouched by awareness. When the glow of awareness touches them, they become active and can be aligned with the corresponding emanations at large. Once that happens, the unknown is perceived and becomes the known.
I'm too dumb, Don Juan. You have to break it down into smaller pieces for me, I said.
Genaro is going to break it up for you, Don Juan retorted.
Genaro stood up and started doing the same gait of power that he had done before when he circled an enormous flat rock in a cornfield by his house while Don Juan had watched in fascination. This time, Don Juan whispered in my ear that I should try to hear Genaro's movements, especially the movements of his thighs as they went up against his chest every time he stepped. I followed Genaro's movements with my eyes. In a few seconds, I felt that some part of me had gotten trapped in Genaro's legs. The movement of his thighs would not let me go. I felt as if I were walking with him. I was even out of breath. Then I realized that I was actually following Genaro. I was, in fact, walking with him away from the place where we had been sitting. I didn't see Don Juan, just Genaro walking ahead of me in the same strange manner. We walked for hours and hours. My fatigue was so intense that I got a terrible headache and suddenly I got sick. Genaro stopped walking and came to my side. There was an intense glare around us, and the light was reflected in Genaro's features. His eyes glowed.
Don't look at Genaro, a voice ordered me in my ear. Look around.
I obeyed. I thought I was in hell. The shock of seeing the surroundings was so great that I screamed in terror, but there was no sound to my voice. Around me was the most vivid picture of all the descriptions of hell in my Catholic upbringing. I was seeing a reddish world, hot and oppressive, dark and cavernous, with no sky, no light but the malignant reflections of reddish lights that kept on moving around us at great speed. Genaro started to walk again, and something pulled me with him. The force that was making me follow Genaro also kept me from looking around. My awareness was glued to Genaro's movements. I saw Genaro plop down, as if he were utterly exhausted. The instant he touched the ground and stretched himself to rest, something was released in me, and I was able again to look around. Don Juan was watching me inquisitively. I was standing up, facing him. We were at the same place where we had sat down, a wide, rocky ledge on top of a small mountain. Genaro was panting and wheezing, and so was I. I was covered with perspiration. My hair was dripping wet. My clothes were soaked, as if I had been dunked in a river.
My God, what's going on? I exclaimed in utter seriousness and concern.
The exclamation sounded so silly that Don Juan and Genaro started to laugh.
We're trying to make you understand alignment, Genaro said.
Don Juan gently helped me to sit down. He sat by me.
"Do you remember what happened?"
he asked me. I told him that I did, and he insisted that I tell him exactly what I had seen. His request was incongruous with what he had told me, that the only value of my experiences was the movement of my assemblage point and not the content of my visions. He explained that Genaro had tried to help me before in very much the same fashion as he had just done, but that I could never remember anything. He said that Genaro had guided my assemblage point this time, as he had done before, to assemble a world with another of the great bands of emanations. There was a long silence. I was numb, shocked, yet my awareness was as keen as it had ever been. I thought I had finally understood what alignment was, something inside me which I had been activating without knowing how, gave me the certainty that I had comprehended a great truth.
"I think you're beginning to gather your own momentum," Don Juan said to me. "Let's go home. You've had enough for one day."
"Oh, come on," Genaro said. "He's stronger than a bull. He's got to be pushed a little further."
"No," Don Juan said emphatically. "We've got to save his strength. He's only got so much of it."
Genaro insisted that we stay. He looked at me and winked.
"Look," he said to me, pointing to the eastern range of mountains. "The sun has hardly moved an inch over those mountains, and yet you plodded in hell for hours and hours. Don't you find that overwhelming?"
"Don't scare him unnecessarily," Don Juan protested, almost vehemently. It was then that I saw their maneuvers. At that moment, the voice of seeing told me that Don Juan and Genaro were a team of superb stalkers playing with me. It was Don Juan who always pushed me beyond my limits, but he always let Genaro be the heavy. That day at Genaro's house, when I reached a dangerous state of hysterical fright as Genaro questioned Don Juan whether I should be pushed, and Don Juan assured me that Genaro was enjoying himself at my expense, Genaro was actually worrying about me. My seeing was so shocking to me that I began to laugh. Both Don Juan and Genaro looked at me with surprise. Then Don Juan seemed to realize at once what was going through my mind. He told Genaro, and both of them